Well, we're back from break here. This is the second hour, February 21st, and I am honored to have as a guest today Dr. Judy Wood with Evidence. What a novel idea.
I thought it had gone out of style.
Yeah, I think it probably has. I mean, in the legal world, I mean, in everything we see, where's the evidence? Where's the facts?
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Yeah, no kidding. You know, where's the beef? And anyway, I'm very honored to have her here. We were talking about the these cars that some are toasted. They've been, they look like they've been burned or rusted or something. And then it's like part of them, though, it hasn't been touched. Some of them are upright. And then there's a whole bunch of them that are toasted. Or, and then we see them maybe up to a half mile away that have been flipped over. I mean, there's no way this could be anything to do with an explosion, a fire, or an airplane. It's impossible. And nobody wants to talk about it, do they?
Exactly. It when you start looking at it, just open your eyes, it becomes very clear that what you see is something you've never seen before.
Well, that main picture that you have on your, that's the one that just struck me. I look at that picture, and it's like somebody is pushing down on the building. And it, you call it a bubbler or a water fountain. And so we got fumes going. We got all of a sudden this dust just magically takes off heading upward. And then we got this cement looking like it's water or something. I mean, it's just like you pushed a hand down and you just, looky here, it's a big water. It's a big fountain. Unbelievable.
I've got a Cliff Notes page on my website. It's drjudywood.com/WTC. And at the beginning of that, there's a video, a couple YouTube video clips, where you see solid parts of the building flying through the air that are like ice cream melting, and they don't hit the ground.
Now, give that webpage out of that site again.
DrJudyWood.com, that's D-R, Judy Wood, one word, .com/WTC, all lowercase.
And so you've got pictures there of the cement that is heading out into the air, and then somehow it doesn't make it to the ground?
It's not cement. Everything. It's the outer structures. They came in prefabricated units of 3 stories tall by 3 columns wide. I call those wheat checks because they kind of look like wheat checks. Mm-hmm. And you see the wheat checks flying through the air, and you don't see them hit the ground. They just turn into dust. They're streaming an enormous amount of dust through the air. It's because they're losing their body.
And where is it going?
Goes away. And the picture on the left side, right below the video, I have a picture right after people come out of their hiding places, walking into that intersection where the wheat checks were headed. And you only see paper on the ground.
Wow, let's get back to that question too. We get back, and we got a call or two. Hold on just a minute. We'll be back in a minute. Amazing. Okay, well, we're coming back from break here. We're going to take some callers, but I got one question, Dr. Wood. I am astounded by that picture on your book. This is cement or concrete, not cement.
And steel. And everything.
And it looks like it's just bubbling over, or it's going up in fumes, like it's been it's dustified. I guess I don't know if that's a word.
It now is.
Yeah. How can this be? I mean, this is not possible. I mean, these are hard materials. I mean, they're not soft. I mean, they're hard.
It's obviously a phenomenon we haven't seen before. And it has been reproduced in the lab.
And that's what the Hutchison effect?
Yes. And that is something that is not classified. That's the wonderful part about John Hutchison's work. It's out there, and he's sharing it.
Has he been able to make or to demonstrate dustification or things vanishing or whatever the word would be here?
Yes. It turns to powder sometimes. Sometimes things fly across the room. Sometimes they levitate. Sometimes they break. You know, there's different things that happen.
Tesla was one smart guy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. And he really did want to give free energy to the world.
Wow, wouldn't that be just absolutely astounding if we had free energy in the world?
No reason to fight or kill or have wars.
Wow. Wow, this is just astounding. Would you take some callers?
Sure.
Okay, guy in Arkansas, you have a question that's on point here for what we're talking about, or a comment, short comment?
Yes, good evening, Ralph, absolutely, and good evening, Dr. Woods. I'd like to give you a compliment. Thank you for your dedication to the ongoing research to expose the evidences of the truth of what's going on there.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk with you tonight. I've got three points here. Number one, probably on some other radio station I heard you, and I called in, and I think I told you about C4. Do you recall anybody calling you and talking about C4 and gravity waves?
C4, did you say?
Yeah, there's another gal that's out there that's on 9/11 too, but I had heard from a semi-scientist that C4 produces gravity waves, and that is one explanation as to why the buildings fell so fast, is because it created a suction type of action. That's one point, and you can take that wherever it may lead you. My other point is that with this with 1,400 cars in such an array of some upside down, some toasted, where is the street evidence? Where's all the testimony from the people on the streets that says, yeah, I was standing there and all of a sudden this car just lifted up and just slammed on down and this one went poof in the flames? Boy, it would be nice to hear, and not that I'm doubting any of this, obviously I'm not, because I've seen your pictures on your website and they're phenomenal in itself, but we need these testimonies of these eyewitnesses that actually seen this action, and I haven't heard anything of that nature as yet.
Oh, there are some testimony of people being lifted up and carried. There's one in particular, I think of as David Hensha, who was a photographer, and he talked about being carried about a block.
Oh, no kidding. Is this on your website? Because I must have missed it.
I'll put some links to it. Andrew Johnson has posted some videos, video clips showing these kind of things. There's a news guy, New York Post guy talked about being lifted up and thrown against the wall.
Oh, I'd love to investigate those websites. If you can put them out, I'd really appreciate it. And wouldn't you know it, I drew a blank on number three.
Sorry.
Okay, well, why don't you address explosive C4 issue?
Go ahead, Doctor. I'll wait until you comment on C4. I just remembered what it was, so go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the other point was that the powderization of these hard materials that you're talking about, the steel, the concrete, etc., is testimony in itself as to the energies that were needed to produce metals and for it to go into a powderized form. And there is a clip out there, and I've seen it. It's a very profound clip, and I if you don't have it in your archives, or I mean in your evidence file, you really should seek it out and find it. But there's a very short clip of about 5 or 7 floors of the very outside skin of one of the towers that had gone down just minutes after it had finally settled, and this whole structure starts to collapse on itself, starts falling apart, and before it hits the ground, it's in powdered form. It's an amazing piece of evidence demonstrating this this exotic technology that you're trying to explain as to why these hard materials have powderized. And I'll just leave it at that. I thank you both for your program and your inputs, and I'll take all your comments off here. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's see. As for the energy, there's often a misconception that people, you know, decide that it's vaporized. Well, that's a specific procedure, and there's no evidence of vaporization. vaporization takes high temperatures and so forth, so calculating how much energy it takes for vaporization is irrelevant here. You have to know what process you're using in order to calculate the amount of energy. But what, from what I've seen, is the energy seems to come from the material itself. If you think about molecular bonds, if you flip the switch, what does it do to the energy that was holding those together?
Well, if you can make them come apart, this is the thing of a nuclear bomb.
That it releases energy in doing that. There's no heat involved in this. You saw the dust clouds roll down the street. They rolled over the people who were trying to outrun them, and they left the people covered with dust. They didn't leave cooked bodies.
Well, there were things that looked like fire, and then it didn't burn.
Ah, that's another thing of the Hutchison effect. Luminescence without heat.
So it looks like fire, or you call it luminescence, but it's not what we'd call fire, where it's going to heat us up and burn us or something.
Weird fires. But here's another thing to consider. Things that are hot glow, but not all things that glow are hot. Consider the difference between an incandescent light bulb and a fluorescent light bulb.
Okay.
One, you have resistance heating of a filament that heats up the light, that makes the light from the incandescent lamp. Mm-hmm. And it's a different process for the fluorescent tube.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's a different kind of energy excitation. Mm-hmm. And you don't have profound heat coming out of the thing. You can unscrew the bulb in your hands without worrying about cooking your hands.
That's right.
So it is beyond our own experience that you can have luminescence without heat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of another interesting thing.
Now another thing to be that people should be aware of: these photos were government photos, and different. These are not photos you took, right?
Correct. They're taken from a police helicopter.
Great.
And they've been around a while. I've known them as GJS. Now I know who GJS is, and I thank him for taking them. They've been very informative. They are wonderful pictures, but they have been around a while. And they remain part of the legal case. Yeah, and that bubbler image is just, there's no way you can explain that.
No, I can't. That's why it looks like water.
Yeah, drinking fountain.
Yeah, it does. And you're not related, you're not in any way tied in to Beam Me Up, Scotty, are you?
No.
Oh, God, this is
unbelievable. And you see these pieces of stuff flying through the air. Air resistance isn't going to make them turn to powder. They aren't slamming it. You know, there's no resistance that they're slamming against. So what's making them turn to powder?
Yeah. That blows all the explosive and all those other theories right out the door, because it's physically can't be done.
This comes to the first question about gravity waves. Well, I think there is some weird things that happen with gravity and anti-gravity and so forth with this type of technology. But as for C4, that's an explosive. There's so many reasons why that wouldn't work. You didn't have any big bangs. Nothing hit the, slammed to the ground. Nothing significant.
Uh-huh.
So if you talk about, cranking up the knob on gravity and have things go to the ground faster, you would have a bigger bang on the ground, not a smaller one.
You got any comments about this thermite or nanothermite or whatever it is? Is that possible that they mix that in to confuse the issue, or is...
It's an interesting, scheme of a cover story, because the buildings were made out of thermite. Or thermitic material. Notice they didn't say thermite, they said thermitic material in their paper. Thermitic material is, some of the ingredients to make thermite with, which is aluminum dust and iron oxide, which is rust. If you get a building that's made out of steel, powderized, you're gonna have iron dust. And it has aluminum cladding on it, so you're gonna have aluminum dust. So all this says is that the buildings were dustified. the buildings are dustified, you'd have something seriously wrong if you didn't have aluminum and iron dust, and iron oxide dust in your dust baggie.
So what they're doing is they're playing a word game on us, the public, that don't have a clue.
And they're keeping people from, they're distracting them from looking at the real issue, which is the building was turned to nano dust.
Okay, hold on a thought here. Back in a minute, we've got two other callers back with you in a minute. Stay tuned. Well, we're back again here. We've got Dr. Judy Wood on the line, and you can correct my logic here, but clean it up. But if I understand you correctly, the dustification of these buildings contains the elements that would that one could conclude were thermite. Is that correct?
The thermitic material. Thermitic material is aluminum dust and iron oxide. If you turn steel into, you know, dustify it, you're going to have iron particles, and they immediately rust in atmospheric conditions. So you have a steel frame building with aluminum cladding turning to dust. You have aluminum dust and iron oxide.
Okay, so had thermite been used, would you see the same type of material in the dust?
I think you wouldn't have dust. You'd have a block of blob of, you know, something that had been melted.
Okay.
And it would take an enormous amount of heat. You'd have the, you know, lower Manhattan would be glowing red in order to you know, disintegrate the building.
Okay. So we can put that to rest too. That didn't happen either then.
No, it's kind of silly to even think about it, because how, for one thing, how do you time it? And then it doesn't match any of the evidence.
Yeah, and how, the thing again is, how do any of these things turn a building that is made out of steel and concrete into something that's dust that looks like water? I mean, it's in the air like it's just water. It's just like somebody slammed a hand in a bowl of water or something, and it's just, does not make sense.
Dustification. We definitely need a new word in the dictionary, because this is a new phenomenon.
Okay, I would agree. Keith in Indiana, you have a question or comment for Dr. Wood?
Yeah, a couple of quick questions for Dr. Wood. I appreciate the show, too. What does Dr. Wood think? What do you think about the initial damage to the building, the alleged explosions in the basement and the, you know, the upper floors? I mean, is this something separate than the directive energy that powderized it?
I think it was an ongoing process that lasted for, you know, at least an hour and a half. You know, the field was active for, you know, it wasn't just a brief moment. Well, for example, Building 7, I believe, disintegrated all afternoon. And as we saw these fumes pouring out the south face, I think that was building material pouring out until there was nothing left. So there was nothing left to crash to the ground.
Okay, I thought, Building 7 looked like classic controlled demolition, where the middle of the roof caved in first and then it fell straight down. But are you saying that was ongoing for about 5 hours and then just powderized?
Did you realize that the seismic signal for Building 7 was no more than a jackhammer? It was virtually indistinguishable from background noise. And you have 47... floors that are each the size of a football field. It should have sounded like raining dump trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But it was silent.
But weren't there initial fires in the building as reported, or was that all fake too?
There could have been a fire here and there, but there was this weird, I call it Cheeto fires. It's a Cheeto as an orange glow. It's just my generic term for this weird phenomena that's the luminescence without heat. There was evidence of that. There could have been also some conventional fires, but, you know, not much.
I see. Well, I'll tell you one thing I do disagree. I think figuring out how to do it is much more complicated than who did it. Have you seen the video Missing Links?
I didn't hear you. Pardon me?
I said, have you seen the video on YouTube called Missing Links?
No, I haven't.
I think you'll be very interested if you do have any interest in who did it, because I'll tell you, you know, Henry Ford wrote a book that he published, and he put in the back of every Model T, called the International Jew. This was research with millions of his own money in Europe with good researchers, and nothing's changed to the day. I mean, the Mossad, everybody, they're operating with impunity. They do everything, even that recent hit. You know, they do it very sloppy.
Yeah, well, we're having trouble hearing you, Keith, but thanks for calling for your question. Shelton in Tucson, you're next. Sheldon and Tucson, are you there? Can't hear you, Sheldon. Are you there?
Are you still with me?
Yes. Sheldon, are you there? Well, I guess not. We can't hear him, or we've got some sort of a problem, technical problem or something here. When I watched Building 7 go down, it went down totally different. It actually, to me, looked like a controlled demolition because it went down and kind of caved in the middle. And it, I mean, it didn't exhibit the same type of dustification stuff initially that the towers did. Do you have any comment on that?
I see a lot more similarities, except that, you know, the towers turn into to powder from the top down, and the other one turn into powder from the bottom up.
Oh, so you're saying once it got down, then it started this dustification process.
No, it dustified for the 7 hours beforehand. All the stuff you saw blowing out the south face of the building,
uh-huh.
That was an awful lot of mass. It was just, it was opaque, you know, solid stuff that was pouring out of the building.
So you're saying before the building actually came down, dustification was coming out of the building?
Oh yeah, for the whole all afternoon.
Oh, I wasn't aware. Golly, where have I been all my life?
Yeah, they claimed it was on fire, but no, that was you didn't see flames. You just saw this, you know, what appeared to be like smoke, you know, solid fumes just pouring out of the entire.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Well, we're back after a break here, and I have Dr. Judy Wood on talking about 911, giving evidence. What a novel idea. instead of something, and she's highly qualified in the area of physics with all of the issues of metal and things coming apart, pieces and dustification, and she just sent me a thing here, Building 7, with this this dust coming out the side. I don't think I've ever seen that picture.
It's
coming down.
It's on the WTC page, on the Cliff Notes page.
Uh-huh.
It's right above the weather section. At the index at the top, if you click on the weather section, or you go to the very bottom and can scroll up just above the weather section. It's the bottom of the Hutchison section. You can see that picture. It's figure 166.
So now Hutchison has actually, he's demonstrated levitation, and he's also demonstrated dustification to some degree?
Yes. There's some picture. If you look through the Hutchison section, you can see a lot of his samples that are just really weird. you know, things peeling apart, and we had some of the vehicles that were toasted look like the metal delaminated when it's not laminated material, but it peeled at the split thickness and peeled open, and John has duplicated that effect as well.
Is this being taught in any colleges?
Oh no. do you remember seeing Tesla in your high school physics book?
You know, I really don't remember, and I really like physics, but I don't remember Tesla being there other than mentioned some of the Tesla coil and some of those things, but beyond that, no, I don't.
I don't even remember that being mentioned, or that he's credited with alternating current.
Isn't that amazing?
It is truly amazing.
It's just, you know, I think a benighted cognitive dissonance. There's no pure thought, and it's all, we're operating in the dark. I mean, the truth has no relevance today, and how they proffer these myths and give them credibility. I mean, they pick it up, and it's just, I don't know. It just shocks the conscience, I guess. I don't know what else to say.
I grew up without a television, and, you know, I kind of grew up in my own world, and I kind of like that. I think that's what has enabled me to see things that most people don't see, because I'm not trained a particular pattern to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been an individualist myself, and I got very little TV because I was working with my dad, and I don't even have a working TV in my house for years because I figure it's a waste of time.
My college roommate had a poster on our dorm room wall that I think is just marvelous. A lot of people will find it familiar. It says, "See the world as a child sees it, with wonder and with hope." And I think it's beautiful. If we can all return to that innocent childhood and just look, not at what we've been told to think of things, but look at them anew, like a child would look at something.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea to actually discover and say, well, what am I learning here? You know, what's to be learned? This is bad. How can I explain this to learn? And not be prepositioned with some opinion and then try to fit what happened to what I, to get to, which is absolutely ass backwards, is to draw a conclusion and then try to make it fit into that.
Right, and only pick the data that supports the conclusion. And
yes.
Keep in mind, I didn't know about Hutchison before I started looking into this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about that energy weapons existed. I just had never looked at those things before. But looking at the evidence told me that energy weapons did exist. My background is in interferometry. That's my area of expertise. Interfering two or more beams. I've mainly done optical interference. But what I saw reminded me of what can only be explained by an interference of some type of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is indeed what it is.
Are there any other, let's say, people of your caliber, that of your intellectual capabilities, that are involved in this or assisting? Or have you been kind of shunned because of what you've done?
Pretty much shunned, because it takes an awful lot to get into it, to look at it, and everyone's in a hurry. And you know, they don't want to also stray from the herd. And if people say, well, who else backs you, so therefore you're wrong. But truth is not a popularity contest.
But this is just absolutely mind-boggling technology, and stretches the intellectual capability to even give it into a concept and then try to get it down to where we can understand it. I mean, this is beyond, I don't know, it's just astounding.
It's like when somebody criticized me and say, well, you haven't even, you know, done calculations of how much energy is required. I said, well, what are the calculations for? To prove that the building is still there or that it's gone? Just
mm-hmm.
Look, the building's gone. Obviously, there was enough energy of whatever form was used. You know, let's go with the observation of empirical evidence. Because it can't be wrong.
Yeah, where did the building go when all the pictures were taken on the ground? Where did that material go?
If you probably don't realize that the news stories that day, there's one with George Stephanopoulos trying to rationalize where the material went, and he can't explain it. But by the following day, they had their stories, you know, figured out and fixed. But that afternoon, they're trying to figure out where's the building? Where'd the building go?
So they've already validated the fact that the building material is missing.
Right. They didn't understand it either. And you can see that in the pictures. They have the first people coming out of their hiding places right after the building went away. They're looking, you know, you can imagine their jaws hanging open. They're just in shock. Like, wait, there's supposed to be a building there. Where'd it go? Am I in the Twilight Zone?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? They just don't know what to, you know, see before them.
Well, I looked at the pictures of the plane, and I didn't realize that airplanes were made that stout that they could just go in through steel and do what they did to those buildings. I mean, that is, I'm not even sure that those are really airplanes or anything anymore. I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
I believe that people saw something. But beyond that, I do know enough about optical work and, holography to know that there's various, and I don't mean necessarily in the holography in the sense that most people think of it as, but there's different things you can do with light to, make something appear. Well, here's an example. If they wanted to do a projected image, we're speculating now, we're just hypothesizing, if they want to do a projected image, that's something that everybody can understand the technology of. If you want to talk about, really low cost cutter version of it, I think most people have seen a laser light show.
Uh-huh.
Imagine a laser light show in using a gas being emitted from a little capsule being shot through the air. Yeah, that's really low tech.
Uh-huh.
And you can bet they have much higher tech methods. There's an article in the Washington Post in 1999, something like When Seeing Isn't Believing. You may remember the article talked about voice morphing and how they morphed something that Colin Powell would never have said, like, my captors are taking good care of me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
To demonstrate that it's voice morphing. Well, in the same article, they talked about in Desert Storm in 1990, they were going to project a big image of Allah over Baghdad to scare everybody.
Uh-huh.
They're talking about, in 1990, of having thought about doing that. So already they've acknowledged the technology is available.
I got a question here. We've got two callers here. We want to get them in. But has this technology made any appearance of toasted cars or any of that in, like, Iraq or Afghanistan or any other place we've been?
Yeah, one car by itself doesn't necessarily prove it. But there are some things that just look really strange, like tires, front wheels and back wheels intact, but the middle of the car missing. Just gone. That was a picture I saw in Iraq.
That's pretty astounding. We got Bax in Idaho. You're back. You got a question or comment here? We got another caller or two. Go ahead.
Yes, bless you. I'm so honored to even be able to tell you how much we appreciate all your efforts for the Republic, Mr. Wetterout. But I just wanted to allow your scientific advisory team there and their due diligence and observational skills, and to the point of being able to make it a note of comment. But I was trying to get you possibly to peek at Sandia technology, engineering, and science accomplishments. You have the old index on the National Sandia Labs, our ARPA, DARPA energy. Hello?
I didn't quite understand that.
I didn't need it.
Year 93 for Sandia technology and engineering science out of the National Labs. There's an article in it on page 10 on diamond coatings, hardest substance can be manufactured with chemical vapors. I was wondering if on your site you possibly mentioned if there are the antenna distance shots that appeared that it was harmonizing, vibrating in a fashion. Was there actual footage of that?
Don't know what you're referring
to. The recurrency of the antenna on the top of the building. There were several helicopters moving in the area during those times, but I was wondering if there was any NASA mapping of any of the specific vehicles or satellites. You describe an entire...
We got a couple other calls. I don't think she's familiar with what you're asking. It may be a good question, but Dr. Wood doesn't seem familiar with what you're asking. And we got very limited time. You've got to get a couple more callers in. So thanks for calling. Larry in Georgia. Are you there, Larry?
I just wanted to make a statement.
Okay, go ahead.
There were three buildings that failed during 9/11. It was a 42-story building. And Bush's brother, Marvin, was on the Board of Security, and supposedly he painted on the explosives in the building. And the person that owned the Twin Towers in a 42-story building collected $6 billion, and also he took out terrorist insurance 6 months before the building fell.
I'm only interested in physical evidence.
I understand.
And I'm just looking at it from that point of view.
Right, yeah, this shows us basically about the physical evidence that Dr. Judy Wood has done, not about some of the financial aspects and that.
Well, Jesse Ventura also had a program stating that supposedly the explosives were painted on inside the building.
That's silly.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Thanks for calling. Kevin in Australia, you got a question for Dr. Wood? Hello, Kevin. Kevin, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, okay, you have a question or comment for Dr. Wood?
Yeah. Dr. Wood, I visited your website, and I enjoy the material you've got on there. I'm actually a mechanical engineer. I've worked in our mining industry in Australia. One of my specialties is blowing things up, so to speak. So we're talking about 1 million tons of earth or 500,000 tons of earth or whatever the case may be. When I saw those buildings in inverted commas come down, fall down, but they didn't actually fall down. They were, I could see the pressure wave starting at the top and coming down at the speed of gravity. I enjoyed your website very much with regards to your presentation on the billiard balls and the timing of the balls in relation to the time that it took for the building to come down, or the tower buildings.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a good site. Like I say, I'm very sympathetic to the way you look at things. I've just got... There's one little thing that I sort of just can't quite get my mind around when we're talking about alternate forms of energy. Now, the US has got a Boeing 747... which is designed to shoot down, you know, incoming missiles. It's some kind of a laser weapon. Obviously, they've got a huge generating capacity on board that plane. It's probably most of the inside of the aircraft's probably generator. And then you've got, you must have a huge bank of capacitors to store the energy, and then bang, they let it go.
You're talking about the airborne laser, and that's a laser weapon.
But to actually blow the buildings to smithereens, when I say blow them, you can see it was like a pressure wave coming down from the top down. That's what I saw. And it's just purely and simply what I saw. If there was some kind of, let's say a satellite in space pointing down and directing energy down, when we send up communication satellites, they get their electricity, they store their energy, they've got solar panels that they fold out, and that's where they get their energy. So satellites are always starving for energy. You can't get enough power to drive the things. The Russians are talking about sending somebody to Mars to do an exploration around Mars. Now, the rocket fuel required to get them there is almost impossible to carry, so they've got to come up with some new engine, which what they're talking about is a nuclear powered engine where they can generate the thrust and push the thing forward. My only thing with some kind of outer space weapon is, where does the energy come from to turn that into a beam to then direct it at the building and then it just basically melt it from the top down?
Why don't we let Dr. Wood answer that question, because that's really the Hutchison effect there. That's your question. Thanks
exactly.
For calling.
It's not like a laser beam from space. I don't know where this thing is located. There's been a lot of disinformation that, Judy Wood says it's a ray beam from outer space. No, I've never specified where it's from. I'm just, looking at the evidence. The evidence, there's evidence of field effects. There's evidence of all sorts of things. you know, around Ground Zero. That's, I know. I don't know where they have, you know, what stationed where and what generated it. And I do know that John Hutchison...
Well, we're back from break here, and I'm really honored to have Dr. Judy Wood on with Real Evidence. And Dr. Wood, if you would give out how people can get a hold of you you want, and also if you want to address, you've got a book that's going to be published. And how, well, the floor is yours for a little over 3 minutes to closing.
Well, thanks. I encourage everyone to look at the evidence and see what your eyes tell you, not what people tell you to see. And that's why I present such an abundance of information, is because I want to empower each individual person to think for themselves. Because we got to the situation we were in because people were turning over their thinking to someone else. My book is soon to come out. There's a link to it on Amazon.com. It's on my website, but I'll make it more pronounced as things come along. It's entitled, Where Did the Towers Go? And that's a pretty good question.
Great question.
That's what it all comes down to. Where did the towers go? They went away.
Yes.
I used to say, once upon a time, there were two tall buildings. And then one day, they went away.
I look at that picture for your book that you've got, and I think that's the most astounding photograph of all of it. This stuff is, it's just bubbling up just like it's water. And where did it go? Go ahead.
It just poured out, like it went up also in the upper atmosphere. It went all down the eastern seaboard, just a variety of places.
I just find it astounding. Go ahead.
No, that's the basic thing, is you look at the pictures and you think for yourself, not what people tell you to think, but just look at the pictures yourself, and the answers become quite clear. For example, drjudywood.com/WTC, or from my homepage, drjudywood.com, and it's called Cliff Notes, the link is. And there's a variety of all sorts of pictures on there, different categories that you can compare to. If folks would like to email me, my email address is on the bio page, but also it's Lisa Judy, 2 four-letter words, back to back, lisajudy@nctv.com.
Great. Absolutely astounding information, Dr. Wood. I really want to thank you for coming on the show today to give us evidence. Again, what a novel idea. Not a bunch of conclusion stuff, but actual evidence, so we can hopefully engage our brain and gain some knowledge and engage the logic and see that what we're being told in the media and these DVDs that are out there and all of that report junk that they supposedly did, it's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, just use it or lose it, your brain.
Absolutely. And if we can't pass it through, you can't have liberty if you don't engage logic and common sense. And, you know, you just made a great point. We need to look at the evidence, and you provided a voluminous amount of evidence. And you went to court to prove your point, and the fix is in. Nobody wants to talk about it. And then all of a sudden ABC says, wow, look at the pictures we just found, now that Dr. Judy Wood's case is over.
Yeah, and before the book comes out that has all those pictures in it.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Quite a coincidence.
I find it absolutely astounding. Well, I really do want to thank you for being on my show and sharing it with us. And when your book comes available, please let me know, and we'll get that out so people can. Have you ever made any DVDs yet with this?
No, I haven't. Andrew Johnson has gotten clips from my various presentations and put them on DVDs. Mm-hmm. And if someone would like to order one of those that at cost or less, from my homepage you can see where to click on it. This little DVD icon, and I'll take you to Andrew's page to order whatever you'd like.
Sure.
But no regular full length DVD type thing.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I really want to thank you for being on my show, and I'm very, very honored to have you come on and give us evidence again, and tell me it ain't so, Bubba.
With recent internet.